How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hour number three of Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning, reacting to a big Titans win yesterday, 30-24 in overtime against the Baltimore Ravens. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Word. We all expected that game yesterday, right?
Yeah, we sure did. Went exactly the way we thought it would go. Corey, what did that game tell you about this Titans team, what they're made of, and maybe what they have to give going forward here?
Well, I think it says that they're not going to sit around and feel sorry for themselves, number one. And number two, I don't know if their confidence is quite as bruised as maybe we thought it was. And then I think the third thing is when you have special players, which the Titans have not always had, they can make special plays that change games and change seasons. And we saw that, you know, finding those guys is important. I think I ask the GM virtually every year before the draft about finding game changers. And, you know, because you see, you know, when you find a guy who by himself can change a football game, I mean, those guys are special and you can't put a price tag on them.
No, that's a great point. And I mean, A.J. Brown just makes plays like that. Derrick Henry, obviously the game winner. I thought, too, Corey, that to me, Ryan Tannehill was struggling as much as I have seen him, you know, over a stretch of a game since he's taken over as quarterback with the Titans. And then I thought it was vintage, like, oh, there's Tannehill in the last quarter and a half of that game. What did you make of it? Almost like he flipped the switch or something.
Well, I thought it was a really important game for him because about three quarters in, I was like, this has been my critique of Tannehill to this point, which people have generally not always liked, and that is that when things are good, he's got good protection, he's got a good running game, he can be an excellent quarterback. But when the chips are down, he may not be good enough to elevate the rest of his team to get across the finish line. And yesterday, he elevated his game down the stretch. After, like you said, he was not great. He made some poor decisions. He did have a couple drops, but he was taking a lot of hits again. And it was not looking great. But he really elevated down the stretch. Because, you know, I was sitting there saying to myself, you know, this is what Miami was probably pointing to and say, yeah, this is the guy that we had for 7 years or whatever it was. And then we saw the guy that the Titans have had for the last 18, 19 games. He was good down the stretch. He elevated his team down the stretch. And I think moving forward, that's a very big sign for him and for this football team.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Corey, a lot of good to get to from yesterday's game as we continue to talk about it here. But some bad as well, losing Jayon Brown. He looks like he's going to be out for the season, according to Ian Rappaport. Just a disgusting injury with his elbow there. And then Paul Kaharsky reporting that Ty Sombrilo likely going to be out for the rest of the season. The Titans fearing that as well. Where do the Titans go from here, losing both of those guys yesterday in the game, and Ty Sombrilo and Jayon Brown?
Next man up, right?
Yeah.
That's, you know, move the pile 5 feet over and run another play. That's what they do in practice, and that's kind of what they have to do here. You know, it's kind of the mantra Mike Vrabel has had, And that is, if you're on this football team and you're in the game, you're expected to perform. It's why, you know, we all made a stink about the Jameel Douglas snap in the Wildcat on his first play. But that's Vrabel's mantra. If you're in, you're expected to do what everybody else is expected to do. He sets a standard for everybody, and it's the same for everybody. And so that's what will be expected now. You know, they got to get David Long off the COVID list because, you know, it's going to be David Long and Will Compton who are going to have to fill in the rest of the way. We all love Will, but we know that David's faster, right? So they're going to need to try to get him on the field. They could also try to use more safeties in some of those situations, I think. When they're using Jayon Moore in a pass coverage situation, they could possibly use Malik Hooker or Amani Hooker. I call him Malik Hooker every time. Amani, they could use Amani Hooker, maybe, I think, in some of those situations, in passing situations. And then it's going to be on Quisenberry. And, you know, gosh, who's got a lump in their throat when they saw the big panda on the sideline, knowing we were a snap away, because he didn't look like he was chomping at the bit. But he's got to get ready, because there may be a point, and it may not be far away, where this team has to call on him to help them win.
Yeah, no, great points, Corey. And you know, I even think about this week. I mean, Jayon Brown, like you said, he has been very important in coverage among all the things he does, including making the calls, by the way. I mean, there's a lot of adjustment, but I mean, even against against Hines, he got torched. You know, that's almost like this would be the perfect week to do what you just said, and you know, roll the dice at times with a safety in that spot to deal with some of that, because that's what Phillip Rivers does best and loves to do most, is throw to his backs. But on the other side, how about the idea of Dennis Kelly doing what he did for the first four games? And then I don't know if, honestly, you tell me, I don't know with Quisenberry if he's more comfortable either way, but maybe this is where it's time for Isaiah Wilson to get ready, put him in at right tackle, and then you at least have a pretty good feeling for protecting Tannehill's blind side with Kelly.
Well, I don't know if against the Colts is the one to do it in. I mean, maybe the most physical and one of the top three defenses in the league. And I don't know that I'm really – and look, they know the young man better than I do. I think he needs to get his feet wet first. I don't think I could just go start him out there. I think he needs to sprinkle in some plays. But, you know, like I said, he's big and he's physically talented. You know, he's been practicing for about a month now. And, you know, we'll – you know, only the Titans know what he's got at this point and how much he's come along. Because obviously – mentally, emotionally, physically, he had a rough go right out of the gate. But you know, when these guys are drafted in the first round, they're expected to produce immediately. And so, what did was it Dick Vermeil who said it's time to take the diaper off and play? and you know, I'm not going to tell Isaiah Wilson that, by the way, because he dropped me into the ground about 3 feet under. But you know. I guess I kind of treat him like with kid gloves, because I worry about him and kind of what he's been through, because I feel like I don't have the whole picture here. And I would like the whole picture before I can make any type of really educated statement. But the fact was, he was dressed yesterday, and that's a big step forward, because if you're dressed, you're one step from the field. And I don't think Mike Vrabel is going to dress anybody who couldn't set foot on the field.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, you've seen a lot of Titans football. There have been some rough years. There have been some really good years thrown in the mix as well. I want to ask you, have the Titans ever had a more dominant player than Derrick Henry is right now for this group and has been for the last 2 years? Has there ever been a guy that's been more dominant in a Titans uniform?
Well, I saw Chris Johnson rush for 2,000 yards.
You did.
And no one could catch him. And while Derek, I mean, he's got 1,000 yards in 10 games, and it's awesome. And, you know, seeing him run through people is amazing. But that last 9-10 games of that season, Chris Johnson was as unstoppable as of a force offensively as any player I've ever seen. So yes, I've seen a guy be that level, but you know, Derek's in a really good place because, you know, he did not have, when he first started, he didn't have 2-3-4 yard runs where you were like, that was a good run. And now he has 2-3-4 yard runs where I go, that was a really good run. And I think that's one of the big differences for him. It's the physicality. He didn't play with this level of physicality when he first started. It took him 2.5 years to decide he was going to be a physical back. And, you know, now, you know, he is kind of an unstoppable force because I'm getting off your question, so I apologize.
It's okay.
When you look at this game, and this is this Titans team as it's constructed, as we've talked about, A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, Derrick Henry. These are big, physical, fast athletes. And you saw them wear out the Ravens in this game. When it got to overtime, they didn't have anything left. They didn't have anything left to stop those guys, even in the fourth quarter, because those guys had worn them down. And you just don't see that. And, you know, those guys are special in the way, and in the way this team is constructed, you know, that is special. And, you know, you saw it take effect in this game in that way. But, you know, as far as Derrick Henry, you know, it's like being on the railroad tracks. You know, that train's coming, and you're not going to stop it as long as it's within a mile of you. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, we were talking earlier, you know, with his numbers and his season. And these are the games, Corey, where you maybe get to see some Isaiah Wilson. You get some Lions coming up, get some Jaguars coming up, you know. You maybe have a chance to...
They beat the Jaguars 33-30, so I'm not chalking that up as a victory.
Well, that's a fair point, too.
So there are no easy ones, but you're right. You would like to get... But, I mean, those games are 3 weeks away. They still got the Browns and the Colts before we get there.
Oh, for sure. I'm just saying, when you talk about when is it okay to maybe, you know, try to work that depth and get the rookie, you know, a look, you know, those are more of the games that are probably ideal compared with Sunday. How about this though, real fast? What about the idea of just flip-flopping Kelly and Quisenberry, you know, moving forward? I don't know. I mean, I just feel like that left side, man, you want to be as good as you can be there, right?
Yeah, but I know this from seeing Dennis Kelly for like 3 years. He's been better on the right than he's been on the left.
Yes,
without question. And I don't like to weaken two spots to make one better. I don't know if that makes sense or not. So if you feel good on the right side, then just focus on the left. That would be the way that I would do it. Unless you feel like Quisenberry struggles so much on the left side that you just can't do it. That would be my concern. But if we think we're getting Saffold back possibly this week, right? And you think the Titans are going to get him back?
Likely.
Because he didn't go on injured reserve. So you're 4/5 of the way there. You know, just focus on helping that 1/5. Because there were times in this game where I wanted them to focus on helping that 1/5, and they didn't do it. When I was watching, you know, Quisenberry go one-on-one. I mean, not Quisenberry. I was watching Sobrilo go one-on-one on the edge. And I was like, I think the young man, you know, needs a little help at some point with Ngakoue, and he wasn't always getting it. And then in the second half, you know, that 50-yard pass to Corey Davis, they kept in two tight ends and Derrick Henry to block. They had 8-man protection in on that play. And, you know, that's what you need, A.J. Brown and Corey Davis to step up here even bigger down the stretch, because they're going to have to do more of that. And that's whether the Dennis Kelly's on the left side or the right side. I think you tweeted it out, Robbie, and I said this yesterday. You're absolutely right. Taylor Lewan is worth every penny the Titans gave him, and you are seeing that bear out each and every week since he's been gone.
Absolutely. Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. Corey, great stuff as always, my man. We appreciate you taking time to join us, and have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, you too, guys. Enjoy the festivities. And, Joe, your Lions are terrible. They are the ultimate Lucy of the NFL.
Ugh.
They are the Lucy. Hey. They get you feeling like, hey, they're about to make a little run, and then they pull the ball away.
Let's all enjoy some Lions football Thursday, a tradition unlike any other.
We're very much looking forward to it on Thanksgiving. Corey, thanks, man. We appreciate you.
All right, have a good one.
When we come back, we'll dive back into the Titans game against the Ravens yesterday. How did they manage that comeback in the fourth quarter? That's coming up next. But first, I got a word from FanDuel. And you may be watching the games this weekend, and you see another ad for FanDuel Sportsbook, and you think to yourself, is that legal here in Tennessee? Well, you bet it is. FanDuel Sportsbook, now legal in Tennessee. And you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Seriously, no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. And if you win, you keep the cash. And if you don't, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. So you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. And maybe an interesting line this weekend. Tennessee right now a 10.5-point favorite against Vanderbilt heading into the action this weekend. And if you've watched any of Tennessee football lately, that's a very interesting line coming up. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and exhilarating bet types such as same-game parlays, where you combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, they get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. I had a great weekend on FanDuel Sportsbook. I got my winnings today. It was a wonderful time. That's one of the best parts about the FanDuel Sportsbook app. So to claim your risk-free bet, just download that FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Goes to Brown. Brown trying to wiggle free. Still fighting for it. Brown takes it all the way. Unbelievable effort. Henry getting free. Henry's going to end the game. Titans take it in overtime. We talk about his second half surge. It just starts to wear you down. And you saw the effort Henry gave. Cut back, finish, get through the arm tackle. And Tennessee survives on the road.
And they win in Baltimore for the second time in 2020.
Well, we talked about it all week, that it's packed up in there. And we're going to have to start doing things that'll break us away from the pack. And today was a great step. It was a great team win.
Well, the Titans certainly broke away from the pack with the Ravens yesterday. They win 30-24 in overtime in Baltimore to improve to 7-3 on the season. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you. And you heard the highlights there. The incredible A.J. Brown touchdown. Derrick Henry wins it in overtime on the touchdown scamper. And guys, watching A.J. Brown yesterday, that touchdown reminded me of when I played for the Madison Titans back in the great year of 2001. I was 7 and 8 years old, football team, and we played up against this team called Graymar, and we could never tackle it. Like, we could never tackle them. We're like, man, these guys are huge. What's going on out here? Well, it turns out it was the 11 and 12-year-old Graymar football team going up against our 7 and 8-year-old team. That's what it looked like with A.J. Brown out there yesterday. Just grown man football, and the Ravens couldn't handle it.
Yeah, it was. That's a play that will endure long past this week or this season. I think I can't remember Jim Nance getting that animated too often. You know, I mean, he's usually a pretty even keel caller of a game. he lost it a little bit there, but so real quick on that drive, I think that drive itself is. I'm going through my notes right now because I do play-by-play just to remember little details about plays. So let's go through that drive real quick. You know, Derrick Henry starts with a one-yard run. Tyson Brailo gets hurt on that play. So this is when David Quesenberry becomes part of the mix after the first play of that drive. So already you're facing, you know, you're at your own 10, and you got to go the length of the field, and now you lose your backup left tackle. Then Henry gets 4. So now you got 3rd and 5, big time crossing pass to Anthony Firkser, who was a hidden key in this game. You know, 4 catches, 33 yards, not big numbers, but he had some big catches. Then play action, another crossing pattern, a dime to Corey Davis, 22 yards. Henry gets three. Then you do another one. This time it's to A.J. Brown, play action, and it's broken tackles, 25 yards. All of a sudden, you're at the 14. Henry blasts to the 6 for 8 yards. Then, you know, Porth brought this up earlier. You're at 2nd and 2 at the 6, and you go shotgun, and Tannehill drops the snap and gets blasted. It's a sack by Judon. All of a sudden, it's 3rd and 10 from the 14, and then AJ's play. Which, by the way, my notes are all in caps. It just says AJ Brown beast. Wow,
yeah, it's that pretty impressive.
That was my detailed football analysis of that play.
I tweeted out that he looked like Thor on that play. I mean, it was unbelievable. Just to watch, I've never, like, you see that. You know, if you go watch a high school football game, sometimes you'll just see a guy that's like so athletically gifted that it doesn't really matter what the other team tries to do. He just dominates. You don't see an NFL wide receiver carry literally 5 guys into the end zone. I mean, it was unbelievable. I've never seen a play quite like that, maybe in the NFL, but certainly with the Titans and their wide receiving core.
Yeah, I mean, it's he's something else. It really is. I don't remember who said it. Maybe Byard, or maybe it was actually Malcolm Butler. Basically, it's like having a power back at receiver, you know? And yeah, yet a guy who can also still run past people and go vertical and do all the things you want receivers to do. But there aren't many guys exactly like that I can think of.
No, and then the other side of that, Derrick Henry finishes the job in overtime, finishes with 133 yards rushing yesterday, and according to John Glennon of Broadway Sports, as he does every Monday at this time, the Pro Football Focus grades are out. Derrick Henry had 101 yards yesterday after contact. So that goes to show kind of the physicality we've talked about, Joe, that the Titans played with. Derrick Henry got in the mix yesterday and delivered some punishment. He took some as well. But at times, that was an old-school style football game of a lot of action between the tackles when Derrick Henry's gotten the rock yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's like every week, basically. I mean, when's the last time Derrick Henry had a good first half? I mean, maybe I'm wrong and I'm not remembering something, but for the most part, every opponent is geared up to stop him, and not just stop him and stack the box, but, I mean, they are geared up to hit him. And, yesterday a few times, I'm like, the Ravens are absolutely getting every shot in on him they can get. And then you thought for a minute maybe he was really hurt on the one he went airborne. But teams do that, and it just look, at some point you have to believe people when they talk about defenses just getting sick of tackling a guy and getting tired and you know, the fourth quarter thing being a real thing. Some people think that's mythical, but, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that it's a real thing. And over time, you keep battering a defense with this guy, and he eventually breaks a lot of those defenses, and that's exactly what we saw yesterday.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Fred from Ashland City texts in, Jeremy McNichols had the big-time assist on that A.J. Brown touchdown. I felt bad for the last defender who got bulldozed by both of them.
Patrick Queen, linebacker, you know, really good rookie linebacker.
Yeah.
But, yes, that is a good point. That was McNichols got a little shove in there, a little bit like the Bush push for anybody who remembers that.
Oh, yeah.
Notre Dame USC, Matt Leiner. But a little bit of extra help. But I mean, still like Patrick Queen, you can't let a receiver, you're a middle linebacker, man. Like, you can't let a receiver do that to you.
It was disrespectful. It was.
It was.
Where do we think Derrick Henry ranks right now in terms of like the players that the Ravens fan base hates the most? He's got to be at the top, right? Like, even with Roethlisberger.
That's an interesting question. Now, I think the hatred has to still be tied to personality too, though, right?
Probably a little bit, yeah.
I mean, do
but
people,
he's just wrecked them the last couple of games.
Right, yeah. So he's more like the Ravens killer than the Ravens, antagonist, maybe. But, yeah, I mean, talk about a guy they don't want to see anymore. I mean, those two performances, one of them just consistent from the start, just killing them. And then yesterday, it actually looked like they were doing a good job for a while, and then it all falls apart.
It did. When we come back, an important stop yesterday for the Titans defense that we've been waiting on all season long. Could this be a turning point for the Titans on that side of the ball? We'll discuss next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning. And Joe, we've been waiting on it all season long. The Titans defense has had its struggles pretty much in every game this year, except for the Chicago game where offensive football has just left them far behind with the Bears this year. But you're waiting for these moments for the Titans defensively to come up and make the big stop or make the big play. And yesterday in overtime, they did that. The Ravens win the toss in overtime. They get the ball first. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, man, here comes Lamar Jackson. He's got an opportunity to drive the Ravens down the field and win this game before the Titans even get the ball. And the Titans defensively just come up with a huge stand. I mean, the sack on second down by Harold Landry was massive. That derailed the drive for the Ravens. Then the Titans get the ball back, and the rest is history. Derrick Henry wins the game. But just a huge series for that Titans defense. And I think they deserve a lot of credit by what they were able to do yesterday. Some stops in the red zone. Wasn't perfect, but I thought overall a pretty good day for the defense.
Yeah, you know, there were some bad moments. And again, I mean, you're a Desmond King PBU away from Lamar Jackson winning the game in the last drive.
Yeah.
I mean, he got them right into position to win it. You're also a Ravens false start away from that. I mean, that receiver screen was going to work. The Titans were not ready for that play, and Hollywood Brown was going to walk in. So, you know, you had some saves there. You also had the Imani Hooker pick, I thought was a huge moment in the game. I mean, the overtime possession, I mean, so, you know, it's Dobbins goes right. The Titans stop him for 2 yards. It's Hooker and it's Landry. And then I think one of the plays of the game was the sack of Lamar Jackson. It's hard to get into the ground. It's hard to finish against him. And the Titans this year have had a hard time finishing against any quarterback. And for Landry in that moment, as tired as he must have been after another game of playing basically every snap, to make that play, I thought was just big time. And by the way, on 3rd and 17, Landry's the one who makes a play on Dobbins on the little screen. So just make every play, Harold Landry. How about that?
That guy really
– the defense has been bad this year, and so, you know, guys don't get recognition because that side of the ball has mostly been a negative for the Titans, but Harold Landry deserves a tip of the cap for what he's done this year, playing all the time. I mean, yesterday at outside linebacker, guys, you know, they had Roberson and they had Landry. I think Tazar Skipper had one snap. They had Rashawn Evans at times outside. But basically, they went with two outside linebackers in this game, not knowing, of course, that they were about to lose the focal point of the front seven in terms of making the calls and everything, Jayon Brown. So pretty amazing some of the stuff they're doing in terms of depth at some of these positions. And Landry, again, just keeps playing his guts out.
And, Joe, we've talked about, you know, Malcolm Butler. We think he's having a pretty good season, all things considered, for this Titans defense. Breon Borders, man. I mean, he gave up 2 catches yesterday on 6 targets, allowed 22 yards, also broke up a pass. I mean, Breon Borders looking pretty good right now, Joe.
He is. You know, he's not bad.
We tried to talk about him a lot last week. Didn't quite get to it, but we were getting to it now.
Yeah, I mean, he's not bad. He's not. That's a big find, because that's the thing. They're in a position now where it's like you gotta come up with some fines here, you know. And you know, I've always thought guys like, you know, like Orr and Ty Smith, decent like fives and things like that, but Borders has really come on here and impressed. And we still keep waiting on Adoree Jackson, and I still think that helps. But I feel like even right now, as it's constructed with King in there now, like you said, Malcolm Butler's played well, and now Borders has given him that third guy who I would think that, you know, it'll be interesting when Chris Jackson, Christian Fulton, those guys get back, regardless of Adoree Jackson. We know he'll play if and when he's healthy, but I wonder if Breon Borders has kind of earned himself reps even when some of those guys come back.
Yeah, I mean, certainly have to be really thrilled with the way that Breon Borders has played thus far if you're the Titans. And like I said before, some big stops for the Titans yesterday, both in overtime, late in the game, holding the Ravens to a field goal, a big stop in the red zone after Ryan Tannehill threw an interception to hold them to another field goal. Some big moments yesterday for the defense. Here's what Titans linebacker Rashawn Evans had to say about some of the late stops the Titans defense was able to put together yesterday.
Rashawn, it's been a rough go for the defense for a few weeks. How huge, you know, for you guys to get the stop to force OT and then get the ball right back to your offense?
No, I thought it was real huge, Ron. You know, we really played with a lot of confidence. I feel like we played with each other. Every guy out there was playing for the guy that was next to him, and, you know, you saw the results.
So that was Rashawn Evans after the game yesterday. Joe, did yesterday tell you anything about the Titans defense, maybe some improvements they're making, or is this more about what we've been seeing lately from the Ravens offense and the struggles that they've had?
Well, look, I think it was a gritty effort. When you have to, you know, throw in Will Compton, again, when you are playing with two outside linebackers. I mean, Kenny Vaccaro is a big loss. You know, this is where – that's a spot where they've done a great job of building depth, because you have an Imani Hooker ready to go. And he made the one mistake on the touchdown to Andrews, but I think for the most part he was good. And I think for the most part Imani Hooker has been good this year. And, you know, his role, even when Vaccaro gets back, maybe – does have to expand a little bit. But I think it's also hard, because of who you played, to take too much out of this moving forward, just because this is a different kind of a game. And obviously the Titans, with or without Dean Pees, have a knack for playing against that offense and that personnel. But now they get to go back to Phillip Rivers dink, dink, dink to his backs all day, and what are you going to do about it? You know, it's a – so you're back to – because that's the thing with Lamar Jackson. He's not going to do that to you. And now the Titans are back in a spot of facing some quarterbacks who are more traditional. And against traditional offenses, not named the Chicago Bears this year, they've been pretty bad.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in, how much confidence does this win give the Titans and A.J. Brown specifically for Sunday against the Colts? A.J. had the dropsies, and then he dominated after that. How much confidence does a win like this give the Titans as they move forward here?
That's a good question. I think certainly it was a big thing for A.J. Brown. We'd never really seen him, you know, like go into a shell. It's so young in his career. He's been awfully good most weeks. But that was a rough night for him. And so for him to make a play like this, he's got to be hyped and primed to come back against the Colts and – you know, do big things. For all the bad news on the Titans injury front, it looked like Jonnu Smith is okay. He came back. That was another one that looked bad yesterday. So you have Jonnu Smith. Now you would think you would get Adam Humphries back. And so again, this would be the third game with all your top three playing a whole game, if they do play a whole game. And so at least from that perspective, from a weapons perspective, Tannehill, if he has the full complement, I mean, I think that this offense can go do things. You're going to have to figure out what your five is up front and how you're going to work it, and you're going to have to do some things like Corey pointed out, you know, eight-man protection sometimes, you know, things like that to take shots. But, I mean, the Titans, even in that, as ugly as that game ended up against the Colts, Titans certainly at times moved the ball well, ran the ball with Henry, and I think Derrick Henry is probably primed for a big game here too in Indianapolis.
Yeah, and certainly, I mean, a huge win for the Titans yesterday, a costly win as well. We talked about Jayon Brown being out for the rest of the season, according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. Paul Kaharsky reporting that left tackle Tyson Brailoe could be out for the remainder of the season. The Titans are fearing that they've lost some Brailoe for the rest of the year as well. So already in a rough spot on the offensive line over on the left side. If some Brailoe can't go and you're down both Lawan and some Brailoe, that puts this offensive line in a very tough spot heading into a great front seven in Indianapolis coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, and so it's, again, it's an Arthur Smith game. First series against the Colts, like scripted, just went right down the field. First series against the Ravens Sunday, scripted, went right down the field, scored touchdown both times. He needs a full game of magic to make up for some of that. And you get the ball in your playmakers' hands. That's one thing about this team. One thing is, you know, even with the protection issues, this offensive line has done a pretty good job for Derrick Henry. And then when you can get an A.J. Brown the ball quickly, get a Jonnu Smith the ball quickly, even a Corey Davis, You know, those problems disappear because now you got your playmakers, and the Titans have some elite playmakers.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon text in, says, the Ravens are a fraud. The Titans will take the win, but this game was a Ravens failure more than a Titans success. Titans would have a close game against the Jets at this point. The fire will burn at some point in the playoffs, and Joe's Clowney is now paying negative dividends. Joe, your response.
Wow. My goodness, Heidi. I mean, so we talk about sunshine blowers and doom and gloomers, but that's like, what is that? That's a new category.
That's a step beyond the doom and gloom.
You take from this win that the Titans would play a close game with the Jets?
The Jets.
All right. I don't know. But yes, you're right, Heidi. My Clowney. He's on the injured reserve.
Is negative Nancy beyond doom and gloom?
Yes.
All right, so
that's the next step.
Then Heidi, we need to change her name to Negative Nancy.
Negative Nancy.
How about Hellishly Negative Heidi?
Oh, that's a good one. I like that. That's good.
I got a little alliteration in
no
there.
No love for the New York Jets. They had a close game yesterday against the Chargers. They only lost by 6 or whatever it was.
They had a play. Did you see the last play of that game?
Yeah, I did.
They're down 8. They get, a kickoff? Because the Chargers punter tries to run out the clock by taking a safety. And he leaves 1 second on the clock. They punt it to the Jets. So,
can you imagine if they would have lost that game?
Well, they
with everything the Chargers have done this year.
Yeah, I mean, over the years of the way the Chargers have lost. But the Jets, instead of just trying all the different laterals, they just catch the ball, they run it like 10 yards, and then they get tackled.
They don't want to win.
Not even an attempt of a lateral.
That's too advanced for New York Jets football.
They are hashtag tanking for Trevor.
Yes, they are. When we come back, man, it was a rebirth of a certain area of the Titans team yesterday that's given them all sorts of fits throughout the year, and man, did it pay off for the Titans in Baltimore. We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You're not going to win on third down, Tennessee. You have to win this game on first and second down.
Oh, they run a fake. They run a fake, and the pass is complete.
Oh, I think you got it, Jim.
Oh, my goodness. What a throw by Woodside, the backup quarterback.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Titans pulled out some trickeration yesterday against the Baltimore Ravens. Special teams, Joe, we know, a disaster against the Colts. Whether you want to talk field goal kicking, you want to talk punting, protection, pretty much everything was awful against the Colts on special teams. Yesterday, no disasters anywhere to be found. Gostkowski finishes 3 for 3. Trevor Daniel was fine punting the ball. And the fake punt there you heard in the highlight, a risky play by the Titans, but Logan Woodside, what a throw he had on that play. It was beautiful. Maybe the throw of the day for the Titans.
Yeah, Tannehill said afterward, he's like, I'm sure Logan will say that was the best throw of the day. Now, when you call a fake punt, you don't necessarily want your backup quarterback to have to sneak a ball in and get the first down by an inch like that. But, hey, he completed the pass. And Nick Westbrook at Kine, good job catching it. Much better day on special teams. But, by the way, can I revisit called shots again here real fast?
You go right ahead.
Okay, because I called the shot that Gostkowski will not miss a field goal or a PAT Sunday. He was part of a much better day for the special teams. I want to really quickly go through. I also had Northwestern shocking Wisconsin, by the way. I don't want to talk about Pigskin Pick'em because I'm about to quit that altogether. So let me just go through Porus just on the Titans real quick.
Okay.
I got Hollywood Brown 50-yard TD catch.
Whoops.
I got Gostkowski misses 2 field goals in his cut Monday. Byard right. First pick of the season. He did have Derrick Henry at 125 and 2 touchdowns. Not bad. And he has Tannehill with the game-winning drive, which is – I mean, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, right?
I mean, yeah. He was the quarterback on the game-winning drive.
Yes.
That's true. That's
I mean,
true.
Joe, you've been praising Tannehill all morning for the fact that he brought him back in the fourth quarter and in overtime.
Yep. No, you're right. You're right.
Thank
I mean,
you.
The orchestration of the handoff there was the game winner. But no, I mean, so those ones were fine. But here's my question off all this. Do you guys now feel fine about Steven Gostkowski?
No.
No.
How in the world could you? Talk to me next game. If he goes through next game and is 3 for 3, then yeah, maybe you feel a little bit better. I took it too far yesterday after he kicked the extra point on the Titans' first touchdown. I was like, man, that extra point was awfully close to that right upright. And I was like, man, I'm a little bit too obsessed about Steven Gostkowski.
A little bit.
Well, he went from 2 for 7 in the 40s to 4 for 9 now. So he's almost 50%.
Getting there. At 50% mark.
I did the field goal to make it, what was it, 14-10?
Yeah.
In the first half. When they lined up for the field goal, I told my wife, we were watching the game, I said, I'm going to the bathroom. I don't want to watch this.
I can't
watch it. I'm taking a bathroom break. If he misses it, I won't have to see it.
It was interesting, though. And look, Gostkowski, he was fine yesterday. He deserves credit when he does well. He deserves blame when he doesn't. But just watching Justin Tucker kick and how, like, it was directly down the middle every time, I was like, wow, that must be nice.
So this is what
What's a real kicker like?
Yeah, he's pretty good. Like, he's really good. He may be, like, the greatest kicker I've ever seen. It's unbelievable how good Justin Tucker is.
Yeah, no, he's automatic. And I mean, look, that used to be Gostkowski, right? I mean, yeah. For years, it was the exact same thing, just fit right down the middle again and again and again. He's still got whatever is happening. He's still pushing so many of these kicks, that's not comforting.
If we're talking about Gostkowski as a potential future Hall of Famer, isn't Justin Tucker Hall of Famer? I mean, he is automatic almost every single time, and
it's hard to make the Hall of Fame as a kicker. But
he's clearly been like the one constant on the Ravens for years,
yeah.
And he's been incredible.
Yeah, well, you know, a big part of it is obviously if you make like the big kick to win a Super Bowl, things like that. Like, you know, that stuff separates guys. But oh, no doubt, once he's done, I'm sure he'll have to merit consideration.
I mean, imagine if the Ravens had Justin Tucker as their kicker back in the 2011 AFC Championship game when Billy Cundiff shanked it way left.
Yeah,
Tucker
probably would have made that kick.
Probably in his sleep.
Joe did. Trevor Daniels' performance yesterday justified the decision by Mike Vrabel, in your opinion, to move on from Ryan Allen.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, it was curious because of what we all saw from Ryan Allen that game. I mean, the main thing you keep coming back to with Ryan Allen is he did a few of those, I mean, 8 punts, averaging 50.5. So it's not a tiny sample size. It's a pretty big sample size of great distance. A few of them were liners, though, and obviously you don't want to outkick the coverage. So, look, it must be that Trevor Daniel consistently is punting like that in practice. So, if you're Mike Vrabel and you're seeing this time after time after time and it looks good, but then you have that one awful shank, which is, again, it's one bad punt. I think it's magnified because of when it happened and what it meant. I mean, that flipped the game on the Titans, right? That whole sequence did. But the shank punt was part of it, and we already were trying to figure out why he made the switch. But you know what? If you're a coach and you have to go with what you see every day and you're convicted that this guy's a pro and can handle it, then you make the call despite what we're all saying. And obviously, he turned out right.
And apparently, the Colts special teams is just very good. So we're going to see what that's like on Sunday for the Titans. Maybe they can have back-to-back really good performances on special teams. I mean, even the Colts yesterday against the Packers, they destroyed the Packers on special teams yesterday. The return game was awful. So that's going to be important moving forward for the Titans. Let's go to our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. How does yesterday's win impact your feeling towards the Titans winning the AFC South? 51% say feel a little better. 30% say feel the same. 13% say feel a lot better. And 6% feel worse after the win yesterday against Baltimore. Joe, your response.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think personally, I feel like the feel a little better option is that's the right take, right? Because first of all, the Ravens have their own troubles and they've got issues. Now, I don't think it's quite like what Heidi said, but you got to take this win with a grain of salt in terms of one, it's a different kind of matchup, and two, that team is banged up and they're struggling and all that stuff. And plus, the Titans are so banged up. I mean, there is some shuffling ahead for Mike Vrabel that's going to be fascinating. I mean, they are missing some key guys. So I don't know that, like, you'd feel a lot better after that. But a little better? I mean, to me, again, like, Tannehill is the guy who has to be great for any of this to happen, and he hasn't been for a while. And then for, you know, about 22 minutes of game time, a quarter and a half, he was again when the season was kind of wobbling. And so that, to me, is why you feel a little better. He did that even with the protection and the offensive line in the state that it's in.
And some people may hear that poll question and ask, okay, how could you feel worse after yesterday with the Titans winning? Well, I mean, losing Jayon Brown, pretty big deal. Losing Tyson Brailo, pretty big deal, given the current state of the offensive line. So the injuries really starting to pile up here for the Titans, and there's only so many of those that you can overcome. Like, at some point, the injury is out of control, and there's only so much you can do with a roster. I'm not saying the Titans are there yet, but the mounting injuries are concerning.
No doubt. And someone asked us about the injury rate this year. I haven't seen that. I would be very interested to see that. Sometimes it feels that way, and it's really not that different. I think and maybe it feels more this way because of how many stars in this league are going down. I mean, Joe Burrow yesterday, awful. Ugh. You know, the latest just awful injury in this league. But it just feels like it's just a brutal year in this league. And the Titans are obviously not being spared from that.
Like, another reason why you could say feel worse is watching the Colts yesterday come back on the Packers. Now, the Packers were equally to blame for the result of that game as the Colts were in terms of coming back and winning. But the fact that the Colts did beat the Packers, they're now 7-3 just like you are, and aren't falling apart physically like the Titans are, I think could lead some to feel worse about it, even though the Titans won yesterday.
And it seems like the Colts offense is starting to figure some things out. Like, Jonathan Taylor was good yesterday. Now, I think I could run against the Packers defense, and that's a story for another day, but they're starting to figure some things out. Pittman, he looks like he's going to be pretty good.
They're starting to utilize Nyheim Hines probably the amount that they should.
Yeah. So I think, obviously, regardless of what happened yesterday, with the Titans winning in Baltimore and now Indy coming back and beating the Packers, you got to win this game on Sunday if you're the Titans. That was going to be the case regardless. But I do think the fact that you were able to get the job done against Baltimore, we broke down the schedule last week. Now I think there's a really good shot to getting to 11 wins. And if you could do that if you're the Titans, I think you feel like you're in a really good spot heading down the stretch here.
Yeah, no doubt. But, you know, when you talk about injuries and feeling worse, feeling better, all that stuff, certainly the Titans and the Colts have had their big ones too, but they right now look to be in better shape than the Titans are. So that's another thing to keep in mind.
When we come back, what did we make of Ryan Tannehill's performance against the Ravens yesterday, particularly in the second half? What did he show us with his ability to lead the Titans back down the field? That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, sweetie. Your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.